Now, we're going to look at the Gospel. The Gospel is in the Gospel of Mark. We've been reading Mark. Well, this is the cycle from Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke. We're in cycle B. So all the Gospels are from Mark. Except that, if you remember, Mark is interrupted by putting the whole Eucharistic event and discourse from John 6 into Mark. Done for two reasons. One is to expand Mark because he's so short, and the other is to give the people another opportunity to enter into the mystery of the Eucharist, which is what they're celebrating there in Mass, by hearing that whole of John 6 again. Well, we're past that now. We're in Mark 12, 28 to 34, and it's about the Shema. That's why we had the Shema, at the beginning. One of the scribes, one of the theologians, the scribes, the word is grammatefs, one of the book people, the bookish people, one of the theologian types, came to Jesus and asked him, which is the first of all the commandments? Now that was a thing they did with each other. They often said, recite the whole Torah while you stand on one foot. That was a picturesque way of saying, the 613 positive commandments in the Torah, can you sum them all up in one? And so they asked Jesus, you see, which is the greatest, or the first? The proti, that's right, the first. Which commandment is first of all? And Jesus answered and said, the first is this one. And now we should know what he's going to say, because we just heard it from the book of Deuteronomy, and he's going to quote, hear, O Israel, the Lord, Adonai, Kyrios, our God, is Lord alone. And it's just translating into Greek what we already had as the first reading in Hebrew, and you shall love the Lord your God. You see? Now from this, from all your heart and all your soul, you see, with all your mind and all your strength. Now it's interesting that the text, we have four. Remember the Shema has three, right? You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. Now Mark has another one, you see. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Now, so which one is the added one in the way he's doing this, okay? And it's this, the diania, all your mind, and all your ischis, your strength. And the second one, now look, for there was no second one before, was there? Now Jesus is going to say, there are two commandments and they're equal. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all your reason or whatever mind, okay? And your neighbor as yourself. They're the same. You see? Because he goes on to say, and the text is very interesting here, there is no greater commandment than these two. There's no greater one. That's it. Love God and love your neighbor. You see? The scribe says, well said, Master. You are right in saying he is one and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding and all your strength, and he goes back to the three, and love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And no one dared ask him any more questions, for the moment anyway. See, what Mark does is he gathers all these, what you might call, what they're called, conflict stories. He's in Jerusalem just before his passion, because that's the only time he's in Jerusalem in the synoptic tradition. And now they put all the conflicts there, wherever they occurred. They're stashed up here, and we're going to go through some of them now as we get ready to enter into finally the Feast of Christ the King and start Advent, because we're already moving quite a ways along here, right? We're in the 31st Sunday of ordinary time. Not many left. Okay. And so, imagine our Lord answering this and saying, you see, one of the theologians, hearing him arguing with some of the others, came to him and said, what is this first commandment? And Jesus said, Shema Israel. That's the first commandment. Listen. And what should you listen to? The Lord, our God, Jewish God, is Lord alone. He's the only Lord. Everybody else is worshiping illusions or idols or something. And that's why He's our God, because we receive the revelation and the Messiah from the Jewish people. And so there's one Bible for us. It's got two parts, Old and New Testament, but it's one Bible. And so this is the commandment. You love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And then our Lord adds, and your neighbor as yourself. You see? And it's very interesting, depending on which one of the synoptics you're reading, in Mark, the second is this. In some of the others, it says the second is like this. There's one commandment. You love God and you love human beings with the same love, or you don't love God. You can't leave anybody out. That's hard. Suppose they're making life hard for you. You love them. And you love them with the love of friendship. You love them. You care about them. How many of our great saints died praying for those who were killing them? Just like Jesus did. You've got to love everybody. Now, when that gets to be clear in your head, you behave differently in the grocery store. You're not just trying to get your eggs and get out of there. You're looking around, is there somebody I could say something to that would move them, maybe just to nudge them an inch or two more closer to the Lord? I'm not going to rattle my rosary beads and make a pest of myself. That's going to just put people off. But what am I going to do? And now, as you know, at the end of the Mass, the priest, one of the ways that the priest can dismiss the people, is to say, go forth and preach the gospel. Thanks be to God. Well, is it thanks be to God? Are you going out and preach? Are you going to look for a way to preach? It's amazing how some of these young Protestant groups, man, they're out there. And they don't have 20% of what we have to offer. But what they have, they give. And we're hiding in the sacristy. It's got to stop. There's only one God. And you have to love your neighbor. And that will finally extend to your persecutor. Your persecutor is your neighbor. That reminds me of a story of a bishop, an American bishop who had been in a Chinese concentration camp in prison for years. And they were trying to break him, and he wouldn't break. For it was love that sustained him, huh? And he tried to love even the people who were... So they'd put him on a stool, they'd cross-examine him, and they'd beat him. And finally, one day, the examiner picked him up from the seat. He's an elderly man by now, and he's tired and beat up. And And he picks him up and he said, Jesus Christ died for me too, don't forget, and throws him down again. Can you imagine? Down there somewhere, that suffering man was preaching and the guy picked it up. The guy picked it up. He couldn't change yet. He couldn't. But you see, it's love that changes people. If I'm always, what are they trying to get out of me? What am I, you know? What do I care what they're trying to get out of me? What have I got to give? Nothing. Except my love for Jesus Christ. That I'd gladly share. And that's why the text says, Jesus adds. Now Matthew, if I remember it's Matthew, says, he added, and the second is like it. Mark just says the second is, but it is like it. It's the same command. We love our God and our neighbor with the same love. We don't specialize. That's the urgency in the world in which we live now. People afraid of the whole thing going to collapse and hating this one and mocking this one. And where's the love? Where's the love? We used to say, where's the beef? Really, where's the love? Love your neighbor as yourself. That starts in the home. Your husband, your wife is your neighbor. Your children are your neighbor. And your neighbor is your neighbor. And the person in the drugstore, grocery store with you is your neighbor. Do you love them? Do you stand there praying, God, give me an opening, some way I could say something that would give them a glimpse of love of you? Maybe just joke about the prices. By the time I pay all these groceries, I'll have to take out another loan. Just something funny to see where the other one's at. He laughs and says, yeah, or she laughs, oh, yeah. And well, then you got a little something going. Can you go from there? Will the Holy Spirit lead you? Now, you're not going to convert them on the spot. It's not your job, maybe. In other words, in God's plan, this person has to have 116 hits before they hear the gospel. You might be number 98. You just do your part, and somebody else will pick up 99 and so forth. But you got to do your part. Do we walk into a grocery store, a drugstore, whatever, with that in mind? To whom could I address this message of love, salvation, peace, hope? To whom can I say, help them make the next step toward Jesus Christ, the living, eternal Son of God, who is fixed in the act of love in which he died? He couldn't love us more. Even Jesus can't love us more than he loves. So just think, there he is, showing everybody, look at the wounds. I'm proud of these. I got these, loving you. Now go out and tell everybody. Now use your head. You know, you're not going to rattle your rosary beads up and down the street. That is just going to put people off. Be smart. But be smart. Be a good salesman. You want people to come to know Jesus now. And you see, in a godless world, as we talked about before, you know, in the first thing we've meditated on here, this closed system has got to be opened. People are living in a world where there's no God. And science has proved there's no God. So there's nothing. We have to step into that world and bring some hope. Amen.